Well, I invite your attention to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, page 1172 in the Chapel Bibles. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I want to read from verse 7 to verse 10, that short paragraph there. Galatians chapter 6, from verse 7 to verse 10. This is what Paul says to the Galatians. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then he goes on, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. But it's those two verses, 7 and 8, that I want to spend just a few minutes on this morning. Do not be deceived. Verse 7. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. You must be struck with the punchy way this man writes this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Pretty dramatic, that. He's got something to say, and he's using his way of saying it to convey what he wants to say. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. There's those pauses, you see. You get the sense of what he's saying. The one who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Somebody asked me what I was speaking on this morning, and when I told him, he groaned. And he groaned, of course, because, as he said, what a solemn, serious, searching passage it is. That's what he felt. He comes here to preach, actually, so he's no dim-witty, but that's what he thought. He knew what the passage is saying, and he felt the force of it, even by the mention of Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Evidently, Paul was very concerned that the Galatians could be living in cloud cuckoo land, that they could be deluded by false teachers, perhaps. Or quite probably they were kidding themselves. They were living, as I say, with the fairies. They were just drifting and deceived. Don't be deceived, he said. Don't be fooled. Wake up. Get your brain in gear. Start thinking about things. Face life as it really is. Don't be deceived. And here comes the first punch. Well, I suppose that's the first punchline. Then comes this punchline. God cannot be mocked. Now, what does this mean? Well, we haven't time to go into all the details this morning. I just want to give an overview. But quite clearly it means something along these lines. You can't fool God. No good trying to kid yourself, because you can't kid God. You can't get round God. God has a will and purpose, and he is going to make sure it is fulfilled. He's revealed his word, the scriptures, and he will keep his word. He said nothing more than he means, and he means nothing more than he said, if I can put it right. What I'm saying is that you can't get around it. I use stories again and again, but of course, I don't know if I've used this one here. There was a child in the class when the new teacher had come, and she was somebody who did not actually believe the Bible was the Word of God. Well, she thought it was the Word of God, I suppose, but it, you know, it was a bit, some of it was myth and fable, and she was speaking about the miracle of the 5,000 being fed. And she said, well, of course, Jesus didn't really get all that food for these people. What it really means is that Jesus' teaching was so interesting that the people forgot they were hungry. And a little boy put his hand up and he said something like this, "Miss, if God doesn't mean what he says, why doesn't he say what he means?" I mean, God could have said that Jesus' teaching was so wonderful that nobody felt their hunger pains anymore. Of course he could have said that, but it says that Jesus fed them. You either believe it or you don't. God is not mocked. Don't fool yourself. That woman was fooling herself and trying to fool 30 other children. But one little boy put it right. God is not mocked. And here, I suppose, is the punchline. A man reaps what he sows. Or a woman, of course. Anybody. The Bible is full of gardening or agricultural illustrations because it was that kind of society. Right. Now, I'm sure we all know the meaning of this statement. A man reaps what he sows. But let me illustrate it just in case you don't. One time, I was a very heavy gardener, a big gardener. And I fed a family of five every day of the year from my own garden. Everything. Now, I don't know if you know, but I don't know if it's still the same because the climate's changing and seed growers or merchants are producing new varieties. But there used to be something called Hungry Gap, which was a difficult time of the year, just after the winter crops, just before the summer crops. There were things you could do, but you had to have your wits about you to provide food in those few weeks. It's about now. Well, I used to grow a variety of broccoli. They're called cauliflower today. I used to grow a variety of broccoli called Sutton's Continuity. And the advantage of Sutton's Continuity was if I grew 60 plants, they would come in over a period of 2 months. So one day you would go up and this one was ready. Next day, that one was ready. Then this one. This was useless for the professional growers. They don't want that. They want a field that ripens one day. They can send their men out, cut the lot. I didn't want 60 broccoli on the 1st of April. I wanted one the 1st of April, one the 2nd, one the 4th, and so on. Sutton's Continuity was a great variety for me. One year I grew Sutton Snowball. It promised me broccoli in January. Oh, that'd be nice. In November they looked terrific. In January they were all rotten stumps. Why? Because it was a variety that would only stand the weather if it was grown in the southwest in Cornwall on the seacoast. Where I was in Wiltshire, it was too far north, and the frost killed it. Sutton's Continuity could stand the frost. If I wanted Sutton's Continuity, I had to sow Sutton's Continuity. If I wanted to reap something, I have to sow that seed. The other way around, if I sow the wrong seed, I won't reap what I want. A man reaps what he sows. Friends of ours, their son got married, and he set up home, and he was very proud of he had a little garden, and he took us out, his mother and father and my wife and I, we went to see them, and he took us out in the garden, and he was very proud, and I'm not belittling him at all. And he showed us what he had sown, the vegetables. And he said, I've sown some peas, and they're up. Oh, great. So we went out there, and there was about half a dozen peas growing in a row. And his mother spoke to him. How have you only got half a dozen? Well, I got the rest of the seed in the packet. You know, I'll save them for next year. Sowing six peas. You don't want to get much of a cooking off six peas. You reap what you sow. Paul is not talking about gardening. He's talking about our spiritual life. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Here it is. The one who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh, will reap. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap. And if you want to reap what the Spirit brings, you've got to sow to the Spirit. If you like what the flesh brings, then you sow to the flesh. That's what Paul is saying. But don't deceive yourself. If you're sowing to the flesh, you won't reap in the Spirit. A man reaps what he sows. Now, it's quite clear, isn't it? You can see it. I'm not making it up. There's two sorts of people in the world. There are those who are living, sowing to the flesh. We'll talk about that. And there are those who are living, sowing to the Spirit. Which are you? Don't know. Ah. That probably means you're sowing to the flesh. What does Paul mean? Well, he means what Jesus meant and said when he spoke to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus, John chapter 3, a religious man, a member of the Sanhedrin, a Jew, and he started talking to Jesus, and he started saying nice things to Jesus. And Jesus cut straight across him, and he said, you must be born again. Hey? Well, I don't know how old he was. Let's say he was 50. How can I? I can't enter back into my mother's body again. No, no, says Christ, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be regenerated. You must be given a new heart, a new mind. You see, we're all born dead in sins. The Bible shows it to us. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And unless we're born again and given a new heart, a new mind, a new will, a new desire by the Spirit of God, as Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again, because if you're not born again, he says, you will never see the kingdom. You never enter it. You will never even see it, he said. And Paul takes this up when he writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can talk to a man who has not got the Spirit, but when you say anything spiritual to him, he thinks you're daft. The things of the Spirit, the natural man cannot understand. He thinks they're foolishness. 1 Corinthians 2. There are these two people. And they're chalk and cheese. Flesh and spirit. Oil and water. Black and white. Night and day. Broad and narrow. Sheep and goats. But it's full of this illustration. The human race is divided into two. Chapels are divided into two. Maybe this congregation is divided into two. Are you in the flesh or in the spirit? We were all born in the flesh. If you haven't been born again, you're still in the flesh. This is what the Bible is talking about. Now, what do I mean in the flesh? Well, in a sense, we're all in the flesh. I mean, I had some breakfast this morning. I don't know whether you did or not. Yeah, you did. I'm sure you did. You combed your hair too. Yes. And you put your shoes on. Yeah. Of course, that's all fleshly stuff to do with the body. Yeah, I understand that. We're in the body. Yes. But is that all you've done? Have you come to God yet? Thought about God? Spoken to God? Read His Word? Prayed to Him? Called upon Him? Walked with Him? Talked with Him? Known Him? Experienced Him? No. Thought nothing of Him? No. You thought about your breakfast? About the rain? About your arthritis? Yes? These are all real things. But you've had no thought for the Spirit at all today. Well, if you sow to the flesh, and in a sense we're all sowing to the flesh, in a proper sense, yes, well, we reap from the flesh. I'm standing up here doing this because I had some toast and stuff for breakfast. If I hadn't eaten for about 3 days, I should be on my back. So, you see the energy coming out. But is that all it is, my friend? That's just flesh. I mean, flesh doesn't necessarily mean sinful. It does mean sinful, but it doesn't necessarily mean sinful. But of course, what Paul is talking about does involve sin as well. There are people who live for indulgence. They don't get up and have breakfast so that they can work. They get up so they can have breakfast. They live to eat. I mean, the television makers, you know, the television program makers, that they aren't wasting their time. I mean, I haven't got a telly, but I got an iPlayer, and I look up and see what I can see. And I got scroll down, dozens, I was going to say, of cooking programs. I don't know what I'm talking about. Great Bake Off, Harry Baker's. You know about it, don't you? I don't know about them. Who's watching all these programs? You are. But some people, that's all they want to live for. Of course, the next page is all about slimming, isn't it? Sport. I'm not belittling Mr. Trump, who won the snooker on Monday, or whatever it was, yeah. I mean, great player, yeah. But is that all he's going to live for? I mean, you know the story, don't you, about the young man, promising young man, and somebody in the family said to him, well, what are you going to do then when you leave school? Oh, he said, I'm going to go to university. Oh, yeah, he said, I'm going to get the best degree I can. Oh, good, yeah. What are you going to do then? Oh, he said, well, I'll get a job. Yeah, well, good, yeah. And what are you going to do then? Well, he said, I suppose I'll marry and settle down and have a family. Well, that's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do then? Well, I suppose get promotion. Yeah, good, good. And it goes on like that. Oh, I suppose I'll have a few holidays and I'll do this. And then I'll work my way up in the business and get up a good pension. Yeah, great, yeah. What then? Well, then I suppose I should retire. Yeah. Find a nice little place down by the seaside. Yeah, very good. What then? And he goes on. And as long as he likes, he can put it off. But if he keeps being asked, he'll have to say one day, well, I suppose then I shall die. What then? What then for the pension, the job, the house, that Lamborghini, that Ferrari? What then? Sowing to the flesh, I'm not belittling any of that, but if that's all it is, the man will have to say, well, I reaped what I sowed. I've missed out two words, haven't I? Destruction. Well, three words. Eternal life. I can't say much about destruction, my friend. I don't know what it is. It's dreadful, though. It's dreadful. If I live just simply for myself, for my flesh, for this life, and I have no thought for God, God's Spirit has never taught me to turn from my sins. He has never taught me to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He has never opened up the Word of God to me and made me see in the Word of God, God speaking to me. If He's never enabled me to live to His glory, I want to live to His glory and all that. And if I just sow to the flesh, then I will reap from the flesh. And what will I reap? Destruction. That's what that young man should have said, if he'd had any sense. What then? Now, perhaps you know more about this destruction than I do. I know one or two scriptures about it. I don't know much about it. Do you know I don't want to know anything about it? I don't want to know anything about it. I certainly don't want it. Whatever it is. I'm not fighting shy of the word hell or damnation or perishing, those scriptural words. I'm not fighting shy of them. I just don't know what the extent of, but it's a dreadful thing and I don't want it. Do you? No, of course you don't. Well then don't sow to the flesh. Start sowing to the Spirit. I can't say much about eternal life either. Can you? I know they write books about heaven, but they leave me cold, I'm afraid. Because it's indescribably wonderful. Indescribably. So I'm not going to waste my time trying to describe it. I like that hymn. You don't know it probably, but there's a hymn I like. We speak of the realms of the blessed. The streets that are paved with gold and all that kind of stuff. But he ends up each verse saying, but what will it be to be there? What will it be? I don't know. But it'd be wonderful, won't it? Don't you want it? Of course you do. Well then, my friend, now is the time to sow to the Spirit. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Christ, you must be born again. Unless you are converted, he said, you will perish. This is what Christ says. And this is what Paul is saying here. What a dreadful word. No, my friend, what an encouraging word. It is a dreadful word, yes, but what an encouraging word. If you are sowing to the Spirit, if you are seeking to know Christ and enjoy Him and trust Him, think what's waiting for you. Eternal life. You will reap a harvest, Paul goes on to say. Don't be weary. Of course it is a warning to those who are living for the flesh. But out of love, I think Paul is saying it. I certainly hope out of love I'm preaching it. Why? Because I don't want you to suffer destruction. That's the reason I'm telling you. I'm so glad my doctor tells me, well, I'm afraid, Mr. Gay, you've got this wrong with you. And we need to put it right. I don't say, what a miserable child. I'm glad he talks to me like that. I don't like it. But if he said, well, you go out and forget it, that's all. No, no. You don't want a preacher who pulls punches, do you? Or gives you a misleading, or this deceiving business at the beginning. You don't want that. No, of course not. So, my friend, there's an encouragement here deeply. I want to take it home with me to think that however feebly I'm sowing to the flesh, at least if God has converted me, if I know something of Christ, think of what is waiting for me. I've got some loved ones who, while they were here, were sowing to the flesh. I wonder what they're enjoying now. Anybody tell me? I can't tell you. Isn't this an encouragement when things are very difficult? They're all coming to it, my friend. Think, we shall reap eternal life. And if you're not there, my friend, why do you delay? Call upon the name of the Lord now and be saved. Let me just give one more application that I must finish. You've heard me say this before, but I feel I must say it again. When we try to bring other of our fellows to Christ, we're all sinners. What we must not do is pander to the flesh for them. I haven't got time. Let me just spread it out quickly. I can show you how increasing this is, how it is growing, how people think by entertaining people, by amusing people, by satisfying fleshly needs, they will bring them to Christ. I can show you a place near here where if you attend there, you can have coffee throughout the meeting. You can have sausage rolls and bacon baps throughout the meeting, I suppose, and you get a free Sunday newspaper thrown in. Now, I say, I'm not against sausage rolls or whatever it is, or coffee for that matter. That's not the point I'm making. But if you think sowing the flesh like that is going to bring men to Christ, then you're living in cloud cuckoo land. Nothing converts sinners other than the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the power of God unto salvation. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. It's not by sausage rolls or sausage bacon baps. It's by Christ and by his spirit. Men need to be awakened, convinced, convicted, and converted, regenerated. And that's the way they're brought to conviction and conversion. They need to sow to the spirit and not to the flesh. And we mustn't cloud the issue in our evangelism. And I would say to those of us who believe that and still will go on saying the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they are spiritual, and we will not use fleshly weapons, I would say to you, look at the text. We will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Paul says it to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall have it. We shall have the success. It will come. We may not live to see it, but go on sowing the good seed, the seed of the Spirit. That's what I would say to myself, anyway. Do not be deceived. Here's my text. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. May God bless that work to us all. Amen.